Luke chapter 11, we've been preaching on the authority of the believer. God has given you power this morning. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
And the power that he has given you, he has said that the same power that raised Jesus up from the dead, it lives inside of you this morning. Amen? Come on, talk to me, church. You believe that? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives inside of us. Amen. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Come on, talk to me, church. Y'all, listen, I'm going to get me some caffeine here if I have to run out there and chew some coffee grinds up or something. But I'm excited about the things of the Lord. You ought to be excited about what God's doing. Amen. Thank God for a church where God's still alive in. Amen. We can give you a plug nickel or some of them where he's dead, but thank God he's alive. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Luke chapter 11. We were started last Sunday. These sermons here, and let me rephrase that. It is not me. It is not. But if you will take to heart these verses and these messages, and if you will apply them to your life, it will change you for the good. Amen. All right, so Luke chapter number 11. Notice, if you would please, let's begin in verse number 21. Jesus is speaking. Now, Jesus believed in a spirit world. We here today believe in a spirit world. There are some folks that don't believe in a spirit world. In other words, there are those today that say, if I can't touch it, feel it, taste it, then it doesn't exist. But God says that there are a spirit world. If you're saved today, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, do you not?
Amen.
I mean, he is the one that teaches you, guides you, directs you, and I'll say this very boldly, if you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you, even though you have made a profession or you have prayed a prayer, you may have signed a card or whatever you've done, if you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, then the Bible said you're not saved. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh my, that's weak. The Holy Spirit lives inside of every believer. He indwells us and then he infills us. And you cannot be saved apart from the Holy Spirit of God. He is the one that draws. How is it that, you know, you look back in some of these great revivals and you look back even like in the days of Billy Graham when thousands of people would gather and he would preach a very simple message and then give an altar call, just as I am. And hundreds of people would flood that altar and come. What? He didn't do that on his own. The Holy Spirit of God did that. And everybody in here that has been saved, you can go back to a time when the Holy Spirit drew you, he convinced you, he pointed out to you what that preacher was saying or that gospel tract said, and he convinced you that you needed to be saved. And that's the key, my friend. Do you have the Holy Spirit this morning? And so here in Luke chapter number 11, notice there he said, in verse 21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in place, in peace. He's talking about here the palace of your heart, the palace of your body. Now let me say this to you real quickly here. We need to understand how when we speak of what we can see. For instance, we are made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. Let me define that. A body, of course, is that thing that we see. It is this tabernacle. It is, and according to Paul said, if this tabernacle, if this house be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What you're looking at this morning is a shell. If you have ever gone by and seen someone that has passed away, and they've dressed that body up and they've got it in a casket, and You know, you walk by, but that is only the shell of that person. Amen? Thank God for that. Absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. And so that body, the body is only what we can see. Now, the soul is that part of all of us, and let me define it this way. It is our mind, our will, our emotions. Brother James was talking a while ago, and by the way, I wasn't trying to ignore. They sent me a text message, give God the praise. Everything went well for Brother Harry. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what I was doing up there. But when I heard the word sweet, that changed. That, you know, I perked up. Banana pudding went through my mind. You know, it's like. Now, if I were to say to you, I love banana pudding. I don't love banana pudding the way I love my wife. If I were to say to you, I love this or that. I love you with all of my heart. That don't mean this organ beating down in here. So our emotions is the part of our soul, the psuche, the Greek word. But then the third thing, while you got your finger there, flip over to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians is our war manual. Ephesians 2 and verse number 1. Here is the third part of man. So we have a body that we can see. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotions. But then the third part, Ephesians 2 verse 1, if you're there, say amen. And here's, I believe, how it goes. And ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Look at that word, quickened. And ye hath he quickened. The word quickened is to be made alive. You ever get a hangnail and you begin to, you know, you pull it and all of a sudden it goes down and it hurts and you say, oh, I pulled it down into the what? It's an old English word. It means alive. You pulled it down in the living part. The spirit of man is dead until the moment of salvation. When God saves you, when God moves in, then the spirit is made alive. Amen. All things are passed away. Have you ever noticed that a true born-again believer, all of a sudden his desires change? Instead of being out, he doesn't want to be at the honky-tonks and the beer taverns on a Saturday night. He'd rather be in the house of the Lord. His desires have changed. Why? Because his spirit has been made alive. What made you get up this morning? Get dressed, put your clothes on, come to a place to hear somebody holler at you for about 30 minutes. The Spirit of God. You have been made alive. How many of you read the Word of God and it speaks to you? Raise your hand. That's a good sign. And so man is made up of three parts, body, soul, spirit. Spirit is dead in a lost man until the moment of salvation. Now notice something here in Ephesians. Satan cannot send you to hell, but he can make your life very miserable. Let me say that again. If you are saved, you have been made anew, you have been made alive in Jesus Christ, he cannot get your soul, he cannot send you to hell, but he can make your life miserable. Now the sad part is that we bring it upon ourselves many, 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 many times. While we're here in Ephesians, I want to show you something, all right? In Ephesians, look over there, chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Watch, Paul tells us, Ephesians 6 and verse number 12. 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against, look at this, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. No. Now, it's easy to get into that point that we wrestle with flesh and blood. It's easy for us as a Christian, and here's how this works. Sister Gail, you won't mind if I use you as an example, will you? Bless you. Let's say, Sister Gail and I, we have, you know, everything's great between us, but let's just say that she got upset at something I said. And so she goes out and she begins to talk about the preacher. Now, I know none of y'all ever have done that. Amen? No. And so then I hear about that. And I tell my wife, I'm not going to take that. I'll fix her. And I call her up. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Oh, what have I just done? I've gotten in the flesh. What I have to remember is this. Either you are being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, or either you're being controlled by an evil spirit. And many of us, we fall prey to the devil's tactics. He'll come to you and he'll perch on your shoulder and he'll say, hey, did you hear what so-and-so said about you? Do you really believe that? Do you believe that Bible right there? And all of a sudden he begins to bombard our mind. And all of a sudden he perches on your shoulder before you get out of the parking lot. All of a sudden he's perched up there and he's trying to get your mind off of what you have just read and what you have just studied and what you believe. Listen, is the Word of God the Word of God or is it not? It is. Satan don't want you to believe that. Look at that verse there in Ephesians. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Now, in my younger days, I was a little bit better shape. And I could do some in the flesh. And I did some in the flesh, you know. Not proud of it, but, you know, there were some times that I took matters in my own hands. Amen. Not church people, just college students and, you know, folks like that. High school students. Anyhow, we'll pass that on. It's easy to get in the flesh. That's where we miss the mark. I don't wrestle with flesh and blood. If there is a situation in your life and somebody is bombarding you with attacks and somebody is criticizing you and your family's about to split up and your wife's about to leave you, listen, remember this. You don't wrestle with flesh and blood, and the only way that you're going to win this battle is not this way, but this way on your knees. The only way that you're going to be victorious is to learn. You got to put on the armor of God. You got to stand with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You've got to have on the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. You've got to be outfitted for battle and stand against the enemy. Or either you're going to fall prey. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Look at the verse. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. But say this next with me, please. What? Principalities. Against powers. Against the rulers of darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look at that verse. If we don't get too much further today, then that's okay. I want you to understand this. Look at that verse there in verse 12. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we do wrestle with what? Principalities. What is a principality? It is areas that are given totally over to the devil. I believe, my friend, and you can disagree with me, I believe there are areas in our country that are totally given over to the devil. I think down in Louisiana, where the voodoo is so prevalent, where the Mardi Gras celebration is so prevalent, where you have witchcraft that is so prevalent, I believe that is a principality. Would you agree with me? Those are areas, those are places that are totally given over to Satan and his adversaries and his henchmen. Those are areas in which he has built a fortress in these places. Some years ago, my son and I, we were going through Four Seasons Mall, years ago now, and walking around, and there was a store that we entered, and really, once we walked through the door, all of a sudden it felt like there was just this cold presence. And it was a store that had to do with occultic things. I might as well say it before, you know, the end of the month is coming. Folks, let me just go on record and say Halloween is not innocent by no means. I used to be a very big advocate. I used to, I won't name the organization. I used to go around with a certain organization. We'd put on what we call scare mares, and we would, you know, have young people to come, and we would scare the daylights out of them. I'd stand in the woods with a shotgun. I love that. But I have come 360 degree, because what has happened, it is no longer just innocent play, but it is a demonic holiday. And I just throw that out there. You can get mad at me, or you can, you know, whatever you do with this information is your. But when you read where these, Anton LaVey said, I am thankful that Christians let their children worship the devil one night a year. Anton LaVey, he was the pastor of the First Church of Satan. He's dead now. He's the one that was in Rosemary's Baby, that played Satan in Rosemary's Baby years ago. Some of you old timers will know that. But I'm just saying this. There are things beyond this realm. Amen? And just be aware, as the end of this month comes rolling around and people think, hey, I'm going to, you know, dress up my little one and send him out trick-or-treating and so forth, just, we'll put some stuff out there and you can trash it, whatever you want to do with it, but it's my responsibility to let you know. Here's the thing. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Watch what the verse says. With powers. Do you realize that Satan has a lot of power? Yes, he does. He doesn't have all power. He has some power. He has power, my friend. The Bible says that even in the last days, he has power, even try to deceive the very elect. Just because somebody gets on television and just because somebody does something, don't believe that all is of God. Amen. Try the spirits to see whether they're not of God or not. The principalities, powers, notice the rulers of darkness. And he goes on to classify here, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, do you agree with me this morning that there is a spirit world? Say amen. Amen. Now, my time is going real fast, so I'll have to. I want you to know this. Turn over to 1 John 1:9, and then here's where we kind of ended up last week. Let me read this to you. When the Holy Spirit is not in control and the Christian is living in sin, evil spirits gain opportunity to do their work. What often is called a habit or an addiction, Scripture calls it a stronghold. Back there in Luke 11, you don't need to turn there. Let me read this to you. He talks about a strong man, armed, keeping his place. But then when a stronger than he shall come, in verse number 22, and overcome him, he taketh from him all of his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. So here's what Jesus is saying. When a strong man is in place, his goods are kept. But when a stronger than him that comes, he robs him or takes away from him. Now, friend, let me say, as a lost person, that lost person is under the power of the enemy. Amen? He is under the power of Satan already. You say, preacher, do you believe that? I believe that every lost man is under the influence and power of Satan. Jesus said in John 8:44, ye have of your father the devil, and the works of your father you do. He was a liar from the beginning. And so the works that people do when they're unsaved, they're doing those because they're under the power of Satan. Amen. You need somebody to come in and set the captive free. Thank God Jesus has robbed him. Amen. Jesus has taken his power away from him. Jesus is stronger than the devil. Say amen right there. And he has given the Christian the power to overcome all the temptations of the enemy. Yeah. Amen. Now let's look here for a second. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I'm asking you to turn a lot, but I want you to go back to Ephesians because this is our war manual here. Go back to Ephesians, please. And look, if you would, please, chapter 4. This is an important verse. If you haven't listened so far, listen to these two verses, and we'll go get something to eat in a little bit here. Ephesians 4 and verse number 26. If you found your place, say amen. Paul says to the Ephesian Christians, but he's talking to us as well, be angry and sin not. There are justifiable times to get angry. Jesus got angry and he did not sin. When he chased the money changers out of the temple, Jesus got angry, but he did not sin. Amen. Oh, can I back up on that one? Not all anger. You ought to get angry at some things. Amen. You ought to get angry at the way our country is. We ought to get angry at the way that sin is being propagated. We ought to get angry at some of the standards that are being let down. We ought to get angry when people trash our flag. Amen. That makes me upset. But I can't wrestle with flesh and blood. I can't walk up to a protester and knock him cold cock. That's it. I knew I'd get it. Remember, I got 2.5 hours sleep, so I'm doing good, all right? Here we go. Verse number 26. Be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That simply means this. You get angry during the day. It could be 5 o'clock in the evening. It could be 9 o'clock at night. Here's the point. Don't go to bed mad. Worst thing you can do, and I've done it, is that when you get angry, and it doesn't have to be, or you say, well, preacher, I'm good on that one. I don't ever get angry. Well, let's just put whatever your temptation is or whatever your problem is in there. Don't gossip and let the sun go down. Don't steal and let the sun go down. Don't lie and let the sun go down. Man. Don't look at dirty magazines and let the sun go down. Don't drink and let the sun go down. Are you with me? Man. And here's the problem. The devil will perch on your shoulder, and he'll bring up every past defeat, 1995, 1998, 2003. He's got a record somehow or another. He'll bring it up and he'll say, hey, don't you remember way back then you did the same thing? You got angry. You got mad. You did this. You did that. And you say, yeah, he's right. And here's the problem. If we get upset, we get angry, we sin, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down. Don't go to bed that way, because if you do, then what you have done, read the next verse, here we are. He says, don't go, let the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27, everybody read this out loud. Neither give place to the devil. The word place. Little foothold, just a little spot. I got all this other ground out here, just a little. But I went to bed mad, and so what have I done? That little spot right there, I have now allowed Satan to invade my life. He's up here. He's playing with my mind. I go to bed and I wake up the next morning, and you know what happens? I'm still mad. Somebody treats me wrong, somebody does something, and I don't forgive them that day. I go to bed with an unforgiving spirit. I get up the next morning with an unforgiving spirit. I go through the day with an unforgiving spirit. But now, day number two, I still haven't asked for forgiveness. So guess what happens? That one little spot now becomes something bigger. You know why? Because I've allowed him to. Have you ever got mad at one person and then all of a sudden you're mad at everybody? Talk to me. Has somebody ever treated you wrong, lied against you, mistreated you, and you developed a bitterness, an unforgiving spirit toward that person, and then all of a sudden, your whole family, you have the same spirit towards them? What are you doing? You have allowed Satan to invade your mind, your will, your emotions, and now he's sitting back and he's laughing. He said, oh boy, now we're going somewhere. Now I'm in the driver's seat. Now I'm control. And so now day three, that one little spot now turned into something bigger, and now it's turned into even bigger. Until finally, I get to that point that I just give up, and I say, I can't do it, and you can't, but Jesus can.
Amen.
You can try, and here's back in Luke 11, here's what happens. So when the preacher preaches, and God's Spirit and God's Holy Spirit convicts you, and you say, you know, I've got bitterness in my heart towards Mary or Bill or Tom. And so I'm gonna go down to the altar. I'm gonna get somebody to pray with me. And so I confess that, but I don't go all the way back to the very beginning. You see, that bitterness didn't start with Tom, it didn't start with Bill. But somewhere back in your past, somebody did something. Somebody mistreated you. Somebody lied against you. And you have built a wall. And Satan, little by little by little by little, has gained ground in your life until now. He is now dominating your life. He is now controlling your thoughts. He is now controlling your actions. You want to be free. You don't want to have to go back and look at that junk again. You don't want to have to go back and lie again. But you're being controlled by an evil spirit. And you say, how can I get free? Glad you asked. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. But we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be able to go back to the point and say, dear Lord, I didn't commit them all at one time, but I need to go back and say, Lord, I got angry at my wife. And God revealed that. He'll show that to you. He'll show it to you if you'll. And then you go to her and you say, honey, I was wrong when I got angry at you 6 months ago. And it's just been brewing. It's just been simmering here. And I've asked God to forgive me, and I ask you to forgive me. Right now, close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. Right now, close your eyes. Everybody. Can you visualize right now somebody that has mistreated you in the past? They said something wrong about you, and you have let that grow. You have an unforgiving spirit. You don't want to admit it, but you have an unforgiving spirit. You call it hurt. Well, I've been hurt by so-and-so. I've been hurt by that preacher. I've been hurt by that church. I've been hurt by that church member. Yes, sir. But don't allow Satan to gain the foothold. And there's where we mess up. Look this way. If you could see somebody's face when you closed your eyes, that's evidence enough that you need to make things right with God and with that person. You say, well, they're already dead, preacher. Well, you can't go dig them up, but what you can do, you can get it right with God, and you can take the next step, and you say, Lord, everybody else that I've wronged and I've offended, that I have built up this unforgiving spirit, I have built up this hardness in my heart, I have pushed people away simply because I didn't want to get close to them, I have closed the door, I have been angry, I have been wicked, and here's what happens. Go back to Luke 11, I'm done. Somebody would say, I wish you'd have finished a long time ago. Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. Luke 11, and I'm done. Verse 24, please. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Now that's when a person comes down and they get things right with God. They said, oh Lord God, I've sinned. Lord, I've done things, and you don't have to tell them to me. I'm not a priest. I'm not a pope. But you tell them to the Lord and you say, oh God, here's what I did. And you confess them one by one by one by one. Now watch it. Verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone,
Spirit of lying, gone. Spirit of bitterness, gone. Spirit of fear, gone. By the way, these evil spirits have jobs. They have duties. They have tasks. I could tell you some stories. I don't have time this morning. A preacher friend of mine, a young girl. I'll tell you the whole story another time. A young girl got exposed to a Ouija board, her and some of her friends, Christian school, over the summer. Got exposed. She tried to commit suicide. Ended up in a psych ward. In the psych ward, a demon manifested himself to a Chinese doctor who didn't believe in Christianity, but told the girl's dad, he said, "I don't know what your religion is, but you better get her some help." Pastor friend of mine took her, and they sat down, and he told me, "Brother Frank, his own words, when we started addressing that demon that was inside of her, it wasn't just one, but there was a demon of laughter." And he began to call off the different names of the, and listen, you say, "Oh, I don't want to get into that now, right?" Hey, honey, I got news for you. Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. I don't have to be afraid of him. He's a defeated foe. He's a big zero with the outside rim rubbed off of it. I've got more power in my little pinky than he's got in the whole world. Say amen right there. Back to this. We're done. So verse 24, that evil spirit leaves, but then he's not satisfied. He's walking around, and he's seeking his next victim. Do y'all believe that there are evil spirits that we cannot see? Amen? How many of you believe in angels? Raise your hand. If you believe in angels, you have to believe in evil spirits. Because angels, my friend, evil spirits are nothing more than the fallen angels. So what did you do? Verse 24. Here's a person that comes down this altar, and they really mean business with God. They want to get things right with God. And they say, "Lord God, please forgive me of my bitterness, my anger, and my jealousy, and my hatred, and my envy, and my strife, and my pornography, and my drugs, and my alcohol. Lord, forgive me of all of that." And he wipes the slate clean. But then they don't go back over Ephesians, and they don't put on the whole armor of God. Boy, I'm glad that Sunday's over with. Boy, I feel good. Let's just go out here on Monday morning and see what we can get into. And before Monday's over, you're defeated once again. You know why? You didn't go over to Ephesians and you didn't put on the whole armor of God. You didn't put on the helmet of salvation. When you turned that television set on, all of a sudden, all that filth began to propagate into your mind. Guess what? The devil's sitting there saying, "Hey, it ain't going to bother you. You can handle it. You're strong. You're a mature Christian. Honey, I got news for you. You got the same flesh as I got. And it is susceptible to do anything. Flesh is flesh is flesh. It's all rotten." So you know what we do? We spend more time on Facebook than the good book. We spend more time watching TV than we do in the house of God. We spend more time watching something filthy than we do studying the Word of God. And you know what happens? Luke 11, here comes that evil spirit back. But now he says, "Hey, fellas, come on with me. We got an open door over here." And he brings with him seven more, and the end result of the man is worse than the beginning. Have you ever wondered why that the man that took that first smoke of marijuana, why did he become a heroin addict? Because then seven other spirits came with him, and they set up. You ever wondered why that first glass of alcohol turned into an addiction? Right there it is. Strong man came in, and now he's ruling. But you don't have to let him rule. Amen. You can break the bonds. You can break the chains. You can be set free. You can be victorious over all the temptations. Amen. Goes back to that one little word, if. Devil, right now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Miss Bonnie, Miss Joanne, would you come? Just as I am without one plea.
Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Right now, he's perched up on your shoulder. This is what he's telling you. Believe every word that preacher has said. Believe that Bible. Just don't do anything about it today. Today. First Sunday of October. You've got plenty of time. You got plenty of time. Don't do anything. Hey, listen. He's going to tell you, you can't hold out. You can't endure. You're going to be miserable. You're going to go back to the same way it was. Honey, you say, in Jesus' name, I command thee, Satan, to get thee behind me. I'm a child of the living God. I have the power in Jesus' name. What's plaguing you today? What is that one thing that is plaguing you today? Everybody's got something. Somebody's got a temper this morning. I shared a man on the golf course. A visitor was asked to play a round of golf. I don't play golf. Was asked to play a round of golf. The men got out of the golf course. They began to play golf. True story. Saw it on the news. Halfway through the golf game, one of the men asked the visitor guy, said, "What's the score?" The visitor guy got mad at him, beat him over the head with a golf club, broke the golf club, stabbed him with it. The man that was injured took off running. The other man jumped in the golf cart, took off after him. The man that had done the injury got to his car, threw the bloody golf club in there, drove home. The police came and arrested him. Assault with a deadly weapon. Did he ever start out that day to think that I'm going to use a golf club to try to kill somebody? No. What happened? There was an evil spirit of anger that come upon him. There was an evil spirit that began to say, hey, that anger begins to brew into rage. And then that begins to brew and eventually ends up in murder. I wonder how many of you folks are coming already. One thing in your life this morning that's hindering you, keeping you from being a victorious Christian. One thing. Some of you men sitting here this morning, you wouldn't want your family to know what you do. It would cringe. This morning, some of you sitting here today, you've had hard feelings against somebody for a long time. When are you going to let it stop? When are you going to deal with that? When are you going to say, enough is enough? I need some folks down here to help us pray. Folks are already coming. I hadn't even asked anybody to come. I need some. Brother Keith, would you come? I need some help. Folks, don't pay attention to time. I guarantee you they'll still be serving lunch when you get out of here. I want to ask you this morning, what's that one thing that's holding you back? I used to have such an awful temper. Sometimes it gets the best of me, even now as a preacher. There was a time in my life I had such an awful temper as a young man. I almost killed a man over my temper. I was a young man in pretty good shape, 225 pounds, 3 years of karate under my belt. A group of guys grabbed me one night playing, throw me in the shower after I got engaged. I took one of them, and the last words that Brother Bob Holder, and I could hear him say, "Frank, don't do it." I had him in a hold where I was going to break his neck. What happened? I let an evil spirit control me. I let anger swell up inside of me. He was my buddy. He was living across the hall from me, and I was getting ready to kill him. Honest to goodness, I was. Unless God had intervened, I'd be in jail today. But God intervened. What's that one thing holding you back this morning? What's that one thing that you'd say, "Preacher, oh, if I could get free of this, oh, I could live a victorious Christian life"? God says, "Let me help you with it. If you'll confess it, I'll forgive you." Everybody stand to your feet. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I command every demon to flee from the presence of this building. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd set the captive free. There are folks here today I know. They have lost their joy of the Lord. There's an evil spirit that has taken up residence in their life. And Lord, today is the day. This is their day. This is the time. This is the place that they're going to finally say, enough is enough.
I'm tired of living this way. I know there's victory in Christ. I know He can set me free, and I'm coming. Lord Jesus, I'm laying it all out here on the altar. I'm telling You all about it. And I'm going to have victory before I leave here today. In Jesus' name. Yeah.